Good morning, this is Scott Wheeler, the host of the Vermont Voice, a program of 1490 AM WIKE in Derby. The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans-Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality, compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom. Our guest this morning is homegrown celebrity Darren Perrin. Darren is an anchor and producer at WCAX-TV in Burlington. He recently returned home after a two-week tour of Afghanistan. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning to you, Scott. Thank you.
So you made it home in one piece.
Yes, we were fortunate enough to arrive, about a week ago, last Friday.
Right. So how did this trip all come about?
Well, you know, it was a couple of months in the making. There is, as you can imagine, a ton of paperwork that goes along with doing a project like this and getting clearance and background checks and that kind of thing. But it was something that the station really looked at as almost like a public service for the, you know, 1,500 guard families affected by this deployment. And if you rely on the national media, of course, it doesn't really trickle down to get to know exactly what the Vermonters are doing. So we wanted to see this war effort through the eyes of our men and women on the ground there.
Now, how did you get to be the one, you and Lance? Did you have to draw straws? Did you, or was it, you know, were there several people who wanted to go, or was this your thing?
Well, for the last year or so, since we learned about this, you know, before our soldiers were deployed, once we got the word that this was going to happen, I kind of took the reins as the guard reporter. That was kind of my beat. So anytime there was a deployment, you know, regardless of the hour, we were there to do a live shot and speak with our soldiers and their families as they were leaving Vermont. And Lance expressed interest in that time. If we were ever to, you know, take the trip over to see them on the ground, that he was interested. So I know that Anson Tebbets, our director, news director, was very interested in getting us over there. And, you know, from the get-go, I was on board, and Lance really was too, since he expressed interest so early in this project.
And you know what? Is you also make a small target.
Yes, I don't stand very tall. This is when it comes in handy to be wee.
Right. Did you ever have any reservations about what you were getting yourself into?
You know, kind of. Once, you know, I mean, as we got the ball rolling, you know, it was sort of a whirlwind happening. Once we got approval, we had to go the next week. So at that point, it became very real to me. And at one point, I was home, and I was like, I'm heading into a war zone. What am I thinking? But I knew that we would come out of there with amazing stories, and that really drove me to continue on the mission.
You know, from being a former news person myself, all my wife could say to me when she saw that you were going is, she kept saying, she said it to me several times, you would love to do that, wouldn't you? And I said, absolutely. Now,
yeah.
That doesn't mean that, you know, that I wouldn't be a bit stressed because, you know, like you, I have never served in the military,
yeah.
And I certainly never served in a war zone, and I can't, you know, I've interviewed dozens and dozens of veterans, but that isn't the same. Do you feel after going there that you have at least some concept on what these men and women are going through?
You know, I do. I hate to compare myself to them because obviously the sacrifice that they're making pales in comparison to what Lance and I just went through. But I tell you, it really gave me a different perspective on what's going on there. You know, regardless of how you feel about the war effort in general and the policy involved in this war effort, specifically speaking about our Vermonters, which is really all we saw, we were completely embedded with the Vermont National Guard, so we only saw what they saw and did what they did. But they're doing some very amazing things over there. In large part, you know, while there are combat roles, of course, in large part, a lot of the things that surprised me were the humanitarian efforts that are going on, if you want to call them that. You know, for example, we went into a village where there was one water source that was feeding this one village, and surrounding villages had no source for water. Therefore, there were a number of fights and scuffles over this water source, of course, a basic necessity. And so what the Vermont Guard did was they have these key leader engagements where they go in and speak to the village elders, and they came up with a plan. It was a $5,000 investment by the U.S. government for infrastructure projects there. And, you know, really, in the grand scheme of things, that's a drop in the bucket, no pun intended, for this war effort. But $5,000 went toward hiring local Afghans who live in these villages. They then split that one water source five ways, feeding a water source to all five villages. There's finally peace in this area, and therefore they are supporters of the U.S.-led effort there. So $5,000, they're winning the hearts and minds in these five villages just outside of Bagram.
Now, is this a poor region of the country?
It's incredibly poor. It seems as though either you are extremely well off, like the Maliks and village elders have a ton of money, and then the rest live in mud huts and have virtually nothing. But I'll say, as a sort of side note on that, these folks who have nothing, it was the most hospitable place I've ever been to. And, you know, they basically can barely feed themselves, but when you meet these people, the folks who are grateful for what we're doing there, they will invite you in immediately for chai tea. That's sort of a staple. Chai tea and naan bread, and they barely are feeding themselves, but yet here they are willing to share what they do have with us who are visiting.
For those of you just tuning in to the Vermont Voice, our guest this morning is Darren Perrin, an anchorman and producer at WCAX-TV in Burlington. Like myself, you grew up in the Northeast Kingdom, and we're probably one of the poorer regions of the state of Vermont. You probably figured out, though, you know, in reality, we're pretty rich compared to some of those folks.
It was certainly a reality check, I tell you. And it was a little bittersweet when we were leaving, in part because, you know, there were just such amazing stories that we were taking out of there. And seeing even a small bit of progress was so huge for this area. You know, it's poverty like... it's very hard to describe, and, you know, they don't know any different because this is how it's been. But extreme poverty and these small things that they were given in the grand scheme of things, small infrastructure projects mean so much. Just imagine that water is something that, you know, you lived without.
You know, a few months ago, I had one of my... classmates from North Country's class of 1984 on. He was on this show, Lieutenant Colonel Pierre Gervais, who spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and he talked about the immense pride the people of Afghanistan have. Did you see that?
Oh, no question. In particular, in an area called Panjshir. We're going to have a story about this area coming up on the Channel 3 News. But this place in particular has been a stronghold and able to hold off the Taliban, hold off the Soviets when they invaded. And this place is spectacular. I've never seen a more beautiful place in all of my travels. It was stunning. Basically, the mountains just rise from this valley, and this raging river goes through it. And because of the landscape, they are able to, you know, maintain peace in this valley, and they take such great pride in their agriculture there. It's a agricultural-driven economy in the Panjshir Valley. And they're trying to, the Vermont Guard folks are working with people outside Panjshir to try to, you know, spread that knowledge as well and teach them different agricultural means in growing crops, et cetera, to stabilize the economy elsewhere and to create that pride that you see in Panjshir.
You know, you brought up a topic that Pierre and I spoke about is on the news, though, very often when they show the Afghan landscape, it's a barren, almost like a moonscape. But he assured me that there are very lush sections of Afghanistan.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say for the most part, it's a very arid country. And what you're seeing on the news primarily are parts of Afghanistan that are, you know, sort of stripped, had been stripped of their trees, et cetera, and therefore erosion has, you know, basically decimated any kind of vegetation. But there are parts that are simply gorgeous, and it's always near a water source, that kind of thing, of course. But what you're seeing on television for the most part are probably areas of Kabul, areas around Bagram Air Base and airfield, because that's where sort of most of our, you know, our military is located. And therefore, you know, that's what you see. And in those areas, it's true. It does kind of look like a moonscape because it's very dry. There's hardly any vegetation there.
You know, I think most people will agree with me, is those of us who grew up with WCAX, there's something about seeing WCAX at a function, you know, because you are the state's hometown television station. You know, whether I'm at the State House or here in the community, when we see your vans, it's like, oh, there's WCAX, and there's a real connection. That must have been such a trip for the Vermont troops to see see you folks with your WCAX logo and everything there. How did they react?
You know, that was in part why it was also bittersweet for us to leave because, you know, I don't even know if it was that they were excited to finally have the story of the war told through their eyes or if it was simply the fact that they recognized a little piece of home when we walked through the door. So they were so excited and so welcoming when Lance and I arrived. It was pretty amazing, pretty touching, and the outpouring of support from folks back home has just been overwhelming, Scott. I tell you, my Facebook blew up, my email, you know, the station was getting calls. It's just been amazing, the support that we've had and how grateful people are to actually see their loved ones over there and what they're doing.
For those of you just tuning in to the Vermont Voice, our guest this morning is Darren Perrin, an anchorman and producer at WCAX-TV in Burlington. You know, I've interviewed a sizable number of Vietnam veterans who are really happy to see what is going on. Because even though this is a controversial war, the troops today are not being received back home the same way that they were received.
Certainly. I hope we learned our lesson from previous wars in that regard. Yeah, and you know, one of the stories that we're going to tell as well is from the perspective of the folks over there who are receiving these care packages, which I can tell you, it just checking the mail, when these guys and women check the mail and they get something from home, it's like Christmas. So the schools and groups and you know, organizations that are rallying behind them and sending care packages is crucial in maintaining their morale. And you know, it was really cool to see. While we were there, a school from the Rutland area had sent a box of what they called kisses in a box, and these soldiers were so grateful to receive these gifts from kids in Vermont.
And I know locally, Hayes Ford has really led a charge to raise items to send over there. So they truly are appreciated then.
Oh, certainly, and especially if they happen to be off, like some of the bigger locations, like away from Camp Phoenix and Bagram. If they're located in, say, for example, one of the areas that we visited is called Charikar, you know, they don't have the accommodations that our folks on Bagram or at Camp Phoenix have, because, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's away from the airfields. So, you know, they're living off MREs, meals ready to eat, that, you know, they're trying to spice up a little bit with gifts from home, like throw in a big vat of MREs together and then, you know, mix it. The chefs do their best there, the cooks do their best to, you know, make it a little more edible. And that's all done with gifts from home.
Right. Now, were you ever, you know, once you arrived in country, were you ever scared? Did you?
Oh, no question about that, Scott. Well, I mean, frankly, the entire 2 weeks we were there, you're a bit uneasy until you're back at Bagram, for example. There's always a threat, even at Bagram, just outside your room, your bunk is, you know, a bomb shelter, just in case there are missile attacks, which happen at Bagram even. But anytime you're out in a convoy in particular, because roadside bombs, as you know, are the biggest threat to our soldiers there.
Yeah, did you ever come under fire, your group, when you were there?
No, fortunately we never saw any gun battles or anything like that, but I'll give you a couple of examples of you know, how things were a little more tense on three different occasions. One, we were heading to Panjshir, which is, again, a very peaceful part of the country. And we got there, we, you know, did our story up there. The colonel, we traveled with the colonel that day because he had an important message to bring to the troops up there. And then on our way back, it was a little bit of euphoria because it was, you know, a beautiful area. The guys that we were traveling with got a bit of a break because we were able to take our body armor off for the first time, you know, outside of base. And so it's kind of a treat when you get dispatched on that kind of a mission. However, on the way back, radioed in our headsets, was that there was a roadside bomb that had struck a coalition forces truck, and it was on the same road that Lance and I had taken, you know, to get out of base. So a bit of a reality check there. We were just fortunate that, you know, it wasn't detonated when we were going by. That's one example. You know, when we were heading into one of the key leader engagements, which is where they meet with the village elders, the Afghan National Police approached the guard members and said, listen, this is a very dangerous area. You guys need to be on the lookout, particularly for suicide bombers, and especially be on the lookout for teenage boys. They had some intelligence that suggested the group may be targeted by a suicide bomber. So, you know, of course, as you're walking into this and you're going in with that knowledge and you're being told, you know, even as civilian reporters, I mean, we were only armed with a camera, a microphone, a notebook, and pen, you know, to be on the lookout for this kind of thing. Of course, you're frightened, but you know, you got to keep going because, you know, we weren't going to stay behind. That wouldn't have been safe. So we walked into that knowing that. There's a couple of examples.
You know, in talking to returning troops, you know, they've told me some issues they've faced at returning is you're so used to being on heightened alert while you're in country. Like, for example, they were saying just little things that you and I, well, maybe not you now, but myself, take for granted, like on garbage day, that garbage can on your street, you know, just for a moment you're thinking, oh, is that a roadside bomb?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think, did it take you a while to settle back into a world that, you know, into your world in Burlington that is not at war?
Well, yeah, you know, well, that's interesting, and I completely understand the stress that our soldiers are coming back with, because they're trained, and we were in a, you know, very small fraction of the time that they're spending there trained to be on the lookout constantly for anything suspicious. So you can only imagine that, you know, they're constantly scanning, looking for the next attack. That's got to wear on you. And in fact, when Lance and I got back into Dubai after flying out of Afghanistan, when we landed, there was something odd on the sidewalk, and we both walked around it, even though Dubai is a completely safe city. And I looked at Lance and I said, "Did you just notice what we both just did, like sort of stepping back away from this odd-looking thing on the sidewalk, which turned out to be nothing. It was like a garbage bag that had blown out of a nearby receptacle. But, you know, it was sort of a wake-up call, like, I can only imagine what, you know, what our troops face when they get home."
Now, with only about 10 minutes left, what is the morale of our troops over there?
I can say for, you know, the time that we spent there and seeing the Vermont troops that we saw, they're doing pretty well. I think they believe in this mission for the most part. I think that there's some skepticism about how long this is going to last. I know, you know, the administration has put out some dates of, 2011. There's some skepticism about whether or not that deadline will be met, because it really is a village by village effort. These folks are completely cut off to the rest of the world. Some of these people think that the Soviets are still there, and that when we're rolling through in MRAPs, they think it's, you know, a Soviet occupation. So they're completely cut off because there's, you know, again, no infrastructure there. So it's a village by village effort. So beyond the skepticism about the deadline and withdrawing from there, the morale is good. I think that they believe in some of these missions. You know, one example, again, we saw a school for girls. That's unheard of in Afghanistan, because under the Taliban rule, women are basically have to hide in their homes, and girls cannot be educated. Of course, this school is like completely barricaded in barbed wire and barricades and blockades and that kind of thing to prevent a suicide bomber from attacking an elementary school filled with girls. But, you know, giving them the opportunity to be educated clearly has an impact on our soldiers, and they seem to believe in that mission.
For those of you just tuning in to the Vermont Voice, our guest this morning is Darren Perrin, an anchorman and producer at WCAX-TV in Burlington. Now, how do you personally feel about the Vermont National Guard and the work they're doing?
Well, I went into this really not knowing much about what they were doing on the ground there, because again, you know, the military doesn't release a lot of details, and the national media, which most, you know, we rely on, is only telling the stories about the bombs and bloodshed. And I can only speak to what our folks are doing, but I have to say that I left there with a very different perspective. Again, you know, everyone has an opinion about the war in general and about the policy, but I can say that our folks are doing amazing things. And if you talk to any of the Afghan people that I spoke to, and you'll see that on our news, they are so appreciative, and life is changing for them there thanks to our Vermont Guard.
You know, Darren, I'm really glad you mentioned something, because I've heard what you just said repeatedly. The one criticism about the news, and I think, you know, I think the news in general, from you being a newsman, and I've been in the news world for quite some time, is I think sometimes we focus too much on the bombs and the bloodshed. It's like the returning troops have told me a vastly different story about what's going on there than what we see on the national news, because, you know, bombs make news.
Right.
Soldiers building schools, that's not making the news, because it isn't action-packed. Because, you know, let's be real, a lot of us are adrenaline junkies.
Yeah.
And sometimes that kind of, not purposely, but inadvertently skews the news a bit.
Well, exactly, and that's exactly why WCAX, you know, the folks here said, we need to see for ourselves. I mean, this, with such a large deployment, we have more National Guard troops in Afghanistan than any other state in the country. So that being the case, the station said, we need to go there because that's a lot of people we need to be reporting about. So we felt it was our duty to really go in there and get the real story. And the real story is very different than, you know, what's being portrayed as a whole in the country. Now, of course, we only know what's going on, specifically only know what's going on with our Vermont Guard soldiers during our embed. And, of course, there is that, you know, there is that, unfortunately, bombs and bloodshed and that kind of thing going on there, too, involving our troops, particularly in the southern part of the country. But, you know, there is a lot of good being done by our soldiers, too.
Right. You know, I think we'd be remiss in not at least mentioning the sacrifice that Mr. Grady made for his country. And I know it didn't happen during your time there, but how did the men and women held up to that?
Yeah, I actually, on one of our convoys, we were going down, it's kind of interesting, and one of the stories that, if you didn't see it this week, it's on our website, but one of the stories that we had done, we were on a convoy, and as we're heading down this dirt road, a lot of the guys have nicknamed this area, you know, each road has a different Vermont town name, because it's, first of all, easier to say and a little bit of comic relief and a way to sort of remember home. So we're heading down this one road that they've nicknamed Hardwick Road. And as we're heading down that road, we took a turn onto Gladius. And that's a road that they did not change the name, and specifically because that's where Specialist Ryan Grady lost his life. And we went by the area, and, you know, we had just been having the conversation about, you know, sort of joking a little bit. There's not a lot of joking that goes on in Afghanistan, but we were joking a little bit about the nicknaming of the roads there. And so I said, well, why not Gladius Road? And they said, and they pointed to the location where, you know, Specialist Grady lost his life, and there was silence over the entire convoy as we were going down that road. And, you know, I didn't ask any questions then out of respect, but when we got back, I said, you know, when you're going down that road, do you think of him? Do you reflect on what happened? And the response from two of the soldiers that I talked to from Vermont both said, you can't help but think of him. And, you know, in part, that's why that road's name was not changed. And, you know, but on the other hand, you know, they say anytime, you know, you lose a soldier, it's extremely tough on everyone, even if you, you know, knew him sort of just a little bit. But on the other hand, they were saying, you know, you got to keep going. You have to keep moving. And your life is in jeopardy if you stop too long to think about it. So they, you know, as we were going by, you know, things sort of picked back up after we had cleared Gladius Road, and you know, they went back on their normal mission, doing their normal duties, but they say they have to be extra vigilant in that road and are as a result of, unfortunately, what happened to him.
Okay, Darren, we're just about out of time here. I would really like to commend you as well. I think you've done the state a real service, and as important, or even more important, I think you did the Vermont National Guard, well, you and Lance, by going there, by putting yourselves at risk to help us better understand what our troops are going through.
Well, thank you, Scott. It was an honor to you know, be there embedded with our Vermont soldiers, and I hope they get home soon.
Okay, thank you for coming on this morning.
All right, take care, Scott.
Our guest this morning was homegrown celebrity Darren Perrin. Darren is a producer and anchorman with WCAX-TV in Burlington. The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans-Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality and compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom.
Orleans Essex Visiting Nurses Association staff find the personal rewards are as valuable and immeasurable as the professional ones.
As a physical therapist for Orleans Essex VNA, I find it really satisfying to get to know my patients and to be able to figure out what that person really wants. This job is really meaningful every single day.
To find out how you can begin your career with OEVNA, call or visit us online at OrleansEssexVNA.org.